Okay, we're on Erevin Daf Dalid. We're holding at the very bottom of Gimel Amud Bet. Meitivei kol amot amru chachamim be'amabat shisha uvat shelo yu mechuvanot. Right, that all the amot that the chachamim were speaking about were amot made up of six tfachim, as long as they're not exactly six tfachim. Right, we'll talk about exactly what that means. Bishlam l'rava ki hechi delehavyon halalu shochakot v'halalu atzevot ela bayakasha. Well, that fits very nicely with Rava's Shita, who holds that we're always dealing with six tefach amot, just that some of them are smaller and some of them are larger tefachim, right? However, for Abaye, who believes that there are five tefach amas and six tefach amas that the Chachamim were discussing, that breita is certainly difficult. Amalcha Abaye, ema amat kilaim be'ama bat shisha. So amend the breita just to mean that Not to say that all amot they were discussing, but all amot regarding kilaim were amot of six tefachim. Vav meditani seifa, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, kol amot she'amru chachamim v'kilaim be'amot v'shisha v'vad shelo yu metzumtzamot mikla tana kama kol amot kamar. But that's very difficult to say that amend the breita as if it were only referring to kilaim, because in the seifa, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel comes in and says that the chachamim spoke about kilaim as being an amma of six tvachim, not six tefach ammas of small tvachim, right? So if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Seifa comes in and says, no, the Chachamim were talking about kilaim and six tefach amas, right? Then doesn't that sound like he would only be coming in if he's arguing with the Tanakhama? So if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was coming in to say that no, we're talking about kilaim, that would mean that the Tanakhama was clearly talking about more than kilaim, right? So it's hard to say that this breita was only talking about kilaim, because then what's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel arguing on if it was only talking about the kilaim? That's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was saying, if we're only talking about the kilaim, right? So it's unlikely, it doesn't seem to make sense that we're suggesting that the Tanakhama was only talking about kilaim. Amr l'cha Abaye, v'lav mi'ikar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, dekai kavati, ana de amrik Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So Abaye would just say, well, now that we've established that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel comes in, argues with the Tanakhama, and says that we're only talking about kilaim, Abaye has no problem, he just paskins like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, right? We said that Abaye clearly has a difficulty, because in the breita it seems to suggest that we're dealing with, it seems that we're only dealing with amas that are six tvachim, by all cases, whereas Abaye said that we have a difference between six tevach amas in kilaim and five tevach amas in sukkah and mavoi. But now that we have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel who's coming in and arguing on the Tanakhama and saying that by kilaim we spoke about six tevach amas, but other things we didn't speak about six tevach amas, Abaye doesn't have a problem. He just passes like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Labaye vadei tanaihi. Okay, according to Abaye's shita, you have to say that it's a machloket tanaim between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel as to whether or not we're discussing as to whether or not the Chachamim spoke of both six tevach amas and five tevach amas, or so that has to be machloket according to Abaye. However, according to Rava, l'Rava mi lema tanaihi, do we have to say according to Rava that it's a machloket tanaim? Amar l'cha Rava, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel ha'ata leshmeinan amat kilaim lo yitzamtzim. So Rava points out the following, right, which is that according to his shita, it's lav davka that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and the Tanakhama are arguing over whether or not six tefach amas are only by kilaim or by sukkah and mavoi as well. Meaning that was the original inference that we made, right? Because Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel comes in and comment after the Tanakhama, and he says by kilaim we're talking about six tefach amas, and we inferred from that that the Tanakhama must hold that by all things we were talking about six tefach amas. That's a pretty logical conclusion. But Rava is pointing out here that's not the only conclusion you could draw from Rishon Gamliel's words. Because Rishon Gamliel basically said two things, right? He said that the six tefach amas of kilaim should not be measured with a small tefach, right? So he essentially said two things. One is that by kilaim we have six tefach amas, and we wanted to infer from that other things we don't have six tefach amas. But he also said that those amas should not be measured with small tefachim. So maybe that's all he was coming in to say. Whereas the Tanakhama would hold that those that those amas were small tvachim. However, the Tanakama would not argue on whether or not the other things, maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel wasn't arguing about the other things, right? He wasn't coming to say that, oh, the amas by kilayim are six tefach amas and nothing else is. Rather, he was saying, no, everything is six tefach amas, but the amas by kilayim need to be small tefachim. Maybe that's what he was saying, right? So he made two statements, and maybe we wanted to say for Abaye's Shita that what he was implying was that other things, like Sukkah and Mavai, were not six tefach amas. Maybe he's not arguing that point. Maybe he's just saying, no, the six tefach amas by Kilayim, not to exclude Sukkah and Mavoi, but the six tefach amas by Kilayim are just small tefachim. So maybe that's what he's saying, right? Ha'atalash minan, amat Kilayim lo yitzamtzim. V'leima, amat Kilayim lo yitzamtzim. Be'ama bat shish lemut eimai. But still, that's a difficulty. You're going to have a difficulty with the language as follows, right? Because what should he say? The amas by kilayim are not small amas. Why would he say be'ama bat shisha, right? So when he comes to say, if you just tell me the amas by kilayim are not small tefachim, and I know that kilayim, like everything else, is six tefach amas, then I'm fine. I'm missing no information. The fact that he said the amas by kilayim are six tefach amas and they must be small, he's trying to teach you something by saying the amas by kilayim are six tefachim. He's telling you that there are some things that don't use six tefach amas. That's implicit from his lashon. Lavla ma'ute amat sukva amat mavoi. Isn't he coming to tell you that davka these are six tefach amas, but by sukkah and mavoi they're not six tefach amas? Clearly, it would seem from his lashon that Shimon Gamliel is arguing on the Tanakama in that point exactly. Lo ma'ute ama yisod v'masavev. No, lav davka. He may not be coming to exclude sukkah and mavoi to say that sukkah and mavoi are five tefach amas. Maybe he's coming to exclude the amas used by the Aron. The Aron HaKodesh was measured in Amot, and they were five tefach amas. And everyone agrees there are five tefach amas, so maybe that's what he's coming to exclude. But he would hold, like the Tanakama, that Sukkah and Mavai also use six tefach amas. Dichtiv. Ve'ele midot ha-mizbeach va-ma'ama, v'tofeach v'chek ha-ma'ama, rochav gvula ha-svata, saviv zeret ha-echad v'zeh gav ha-mizbeach. Right? So, if you look in the Pasuk, so the Pasuk talks about the measurements for the Aron and measures them all in Amot. Chek ha-ma zeh yisod. When the Pasuk says chek ha-ma, that's talking about the base of the mizbeach. Sorry, I said Aron. We're going to get to the Aron in a second, but I meant mizbeach. The chek ha-ma, that's talking about the bottom of the mizbeach, the foundation. The ama rochav zesovev, and the ama that goes around, that is kind of the surrounding area, like a ledge around the mizbeach. Ugvula el sifata saviv, and the border around it, el hakranot, those are the corners of the Aron. V'zeh gav ha-mizbeach, zeh mizbeach zahav. And when the Pasuk says that the Pasuk refers to the part on top of the mizbeach, that's talking about the golden mizbeach, which was a smaller mizbeach. These were all measured in amot, and we know from their actual measurements that those amot were five tefachim. So, because we have definite five tefach amas when it comes to the mizbeach, so that could easily be what Rav Shimon Gamliel was coming to exclude when he taught the six tefach amas by kilayim, and lav davka was he suggesting to contradict the Tanakama, to argue the Tanakama that sukkah and mavoi were five tefachim. Amar Rabbi Chiya, Barashi, Amar Rav, Shiurin, Chatzitzin, Mechitzin, Lachol Moshe Mesinai. The following three things are Lachol Moshe Mesinai, and they cannot be derived from the written text. Right? One of them is measurements. The measurements that we use in halacha. One of them are chatzitin, interpositions, right? Things that if you go into the mikvah with them on your body, the mikvah doesn't work for you. Umchitzin, and partitions. Partitions, you know, we think of a mechitza and a shul, but a partition is basically a halachically significant barrier that separates two different domains. Halach l'moshe Sinai. Those all are gotten as a direct tradition for Moshe. Shi'urin, they're right to who? One second. Aren't the measurements written explicitly in the Torah? Dichtiv, as it's written. Eretz chita u'seora, right? The pasuk which is added in last week's parsha. Eretz chita u'seora, v'gefen etonah v'rimon, eretz zet shemen u'dvash, right? These are the shiurim, right? How do we know? Amar Reb Chanan, because Reb Chanan says, kol pasuk ezele shiurim ne'emar. All these, this entire pasuk was to give us the shiurim for chiyuvim. Chita, right? Okay, so what shiur, what measurement, what halachically significant measurement does chita teach us? L'chiretan, as we learned in the Mishnah, nechmas abayta menuga, v'keila v'alketefa, v'sandla v'tabutab v'yadab, hu v'hem t'meim miyad. Right? So if someone walks into a house that is menuga, it has tzarat, it has an affliction that conveys tuma, right? So he walks in, and he has his clothing on his shoulder, and he has his sandals in his hands, right? Everyone and everything, tamei immediately. Haya lavush kelav, if he was holding on, if he was wearing his clothing, v'sandalav baraglav, and if he was wearing his shoes, v'tabotav, betzvotav, and his rings were on his fingers, hu tamei miyad, so he's immediately tamei, v'hein torin, ad shishai b'chdei pras, right? But the clothing themselves are tahor until he waits a certain amount of time in that house that is tamei. How much time? The amount of time it takes to eat a loaf of bread. Pat chitin velo pat seorin. Davka, wheat bread, and not barley bread. Wheat bread, which is eaten faster. Mesa ve'ocha b'liftan. And we're speaking about when you're leaning while you're eating it in the normal fashion and eating it with a dip of some sort. That is the halachic measurement. And davka, when it comes to wheat bread, so that is why the wheat here in the pasuk is a reference to a shi'ur that we have in the Torah. Se'ora, barley, it's not etzim k'se'ora metame b'maga b'masa ve'ena metame b'ohel. As we thought, that a bone which would be tame, which would convey tuma, if it is the size of a grain of barley, then it can convey tuma by touching it or by carrying it. However, if a piece of bone the size of a barley grain was in an ohel underneath an airspace, then it would not convey tuma. Gefen kedei revi yayin nazir. And when it comes to gefen, when it comes to grapes, it is the measurement that grapes tells us is that enough grapes to produce the measurement of a revi'it of wine is how much a nazir is going to be chayav for, right? Te'ena, meaning a nazir can't drink wine, how much wine? A revi'it, and that's what Geffen is a reference to. Te'ena, kegrugeret, lotzat shabbat. Right, so te'ena, which is a fig, well, that is the minimum size you're going to be chayav for taking something out of your domain on Shabbat. Rimon, okay, what about a pomegranate? What halachic shiur does a pomegranate come to teach us? The vessels, the normal vessels of homeowners, right? So we said, we've taught multiple times that proper vessels, right, whole functional vessels, they can be makavel and convey tuma. They can be contract and convey impurity. However, a broken vessel, a non-functional vessel, it is broken. That does not contract or convey tuma, and it has tuma, it immediately loses its tame status. Okay, so what if it has a hole in it? Is that still considered a functional vessel? Is that still a proper vessel? Well, it depends how big the hole is, right? So for a normal vessel owned by a Baal HaBayit, let's say the hole was as big as a grape. So no, that's still a pretty functional vessel. You can still put plenty of things inside of there. You know, maybe you can't put tiny things inside of there. Maybe those are going to fall out. But normal things, you can put in. But what if the hole is the size of a pomegranate? No, if the hole is the size of a pomegranate, that's no longer considered a functional vessel. Most things you cannot put in it, and it's probably not serving its original function. So that is why Rimon is a reference to a halachic shi'ur, because once the hole in the vessel is the size of a pomegranate, it is considered broken and therefore can no longer convey tuma. Eretz Zeitshem Rudvash. And what shi'urim do we learn from the rest of the pasuk? Eretz Zeitshem Rudvash, a land of olive oil and honey. Eretz Shekol Shirei Kezeitim, a land that all of its measurements, all significant measurements, are a kezayit. Kol Shirei Asal Kedaitach, all of its measurements, v'ha'ika ahane damran. Didn't we just give you plenty of shiurim that were not a kezayit? Ele'ema Eretz Sherov Shirei Kezeitim. But most halachically significant measurements are a kezayit. Dvash, kikotev adagas le'ema kipurim. Okay, and what about honey? Well, we're talking about date honey. We're not talking about bee honey. We're talking about date honey. And a date is the minimum size for violating the deoraita, or for being punishable. I'm being very careful with my words here. For receiving the punishment for eating on Yom Kippur. That's not a kezayit. Most eating punishments are incurred after eating kezayit. By Yom Kippur, it is by eating a date. There's a reason for that. We don't have time for it.
V'tiz b'ra shi'urin michtav k'tivi.
Is it really reasonable to suggest that these are the sources for the shiur? Are those explicitly written? Meaning, okay, the pasuk says rimon, right? That is considered explicitly written that if a hole the size of a pomegranate is in a balabayit's kli, then it's going to lose its tamei status. That's explicitly written. That is what you're calling explicitly written in the Torah. No, the fact that it says chitin, what you teach me is that if you go into a bayit hamenuga with tzarat and you're holding your and you're wearing your clothing, then they're going to be tummy the amount of time it takes to sit down and eat wheat bread with a dip. That you think that's written explicitly? It says Eretz Chita. It does not talk about any of those things. It is not explicitly written in any way, right? Rather, this is Halacha Moshe Mesinai, and this pasuk is just a nice mnemonic. Chatzitzin deoraita ninhu. Okay, so up to the next one. We said that Halacha Moshe Mesinai by interpositions in the mikvah. Wait, but isn't that explicitly written also? Verachatz et kol b'saro b'mayim. You're supposed to wash your entire body in water. Shelo yeh davar chotzeitz ben b'saro l'mayim. And that teaches me that my entire body, all my flesh, needs to come in contact with the water. And I shouldn't have to, and I shouldn't be allowed, no part of my body can be blocked by anything else. Kol b'saro b'mayim. All your flesh needs to be in the water. If it's blocked by something, if there's something blocking your flesh from contact with the water, then you're not doing that, right? Ba-mayim. What does ba-mayim mean? In the water. Why not just say in water? B'mayim. Why ba-mayim? Why in the water? Because we're referring to a very specific water. What type of water? May mikvah, right? A very, very specific body of water. Kol b'saro. What do we learn from all of your flesh? I mean, just say b'saro. Just tell me your flesh has to come in contact with water. Maim chigol gufu ole bahen. Right? To tell me that there are also specifications with the size of the water that I'm getting into, and it has to be water which my entire body will go into at once. Right? So the amount, the minimum amount of water is the amount of water that the average person can be completely immersed in at one time. B'chamehen. And how much are those things? Ama al ama. It is one amma by one amma, meaning one amma length by one amma width. Berum shalosh amot, and a height of three amot. V'shiru chamim me mikvar b'imsa, right? And based on the water that would fit in a 1x1x3 dimensions of a mikvah, that is 40 se'ah, which is our measurements for the mikvah. So you see, these are not halacha l'moshe m'sinai when it comes to the halachot of mikvah. We know it has to touch your entire body, because it says it has to touch your entire body. We know that it has to be in a specific type of body of water, like a mikvah, because it says in the water, not just in water. And we know that it's 40 se'ah, because that is the amount of water that an entire person's body can fit into at one time. Okay, so where we needed the halacha l'moshe m'sinai was not to teach us anything we just said, rather to teach you that that includes your hair. Okay, the Rav Baravuna, Dama Rav Baravuna, Nema Achad Kshura Chotzetzet, Nima Achad Kshura Chotzetzet, Shalosh Eino Chotzetzot, Shtaim Eino Yodea, right? As Rabba says in the name of Ravuna, that if one strand of hair was tied, that's going to be Chotzetz, because one strand of hair is going to create, you have a knot in your hair, and so not all the hair is coming in direct contact with water. If three of them are tied together, well, that's not a chatzitza, that's not an interposition, because three hairs cannot be tied together as tightly, and therefore water is going to be able to go through, Shtaim Eino Yodea, but if two hairs tied together, not sure. But wait, can't we suggest that hair is also learned from the pasuk? The Tanya Rumi the Brayta Verachatz et kol b'saro et tafel b'saro v'zeh se'ar. Right from that it says all of your flesh. Doesn't that indicate? So we just say your flesh. Why all of your flesh? To tell you that it's not just your flesh, but also things that are considered secondary to your flesh, like your hair. Kiata hilchta l'rubo umiuto ulamakbit chen makbit ukdarbi yitzchak. Right. So where the halacha l'moshe m'sinai comes in the following halacha by interpositions. It comes to teach you the following: the laws of the majority of your body being covered, the minority of your body being covered, when you care that it's being covered, when you don't care that it's being covered, and this is in accordance with the opinion, the Shita of Rabbi Yitzchak. Dam Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, Rubo, Mak, Pidalav, Chotzetz. According to the Torah, what is considered an interposition when it comes to your body coming in contact with the water? What's considered a separation between your body and the water? That is, if most of your body was covered, right? And you don't want it there, right? Meaning it bothers you, it bothers you to have it there, right? So if you painted your entire body for Purim, let's say, right? And you don't want it there, you don't want the paint there, you're trying to get it off, it's very difficult to get it off, right? And you go to the mikvah, right? That's covering most of your body and you don't want it there. V'she'eno makbid alav, eno chotzetz, right? However, if your entire, if most of your body is covered, right? But you're not makbid, right? You really don't care that it's there. Well, then, on a deoraita level, that is not going to create a chatzitza. Maybe an example of that, I've heard a suggestion that maybe like a spray tan. Oh, that may be part of the skin, maybe not part of the skin, but the majority of someone's body being covered, right, in a way that they're not, that they don't care that it's there, so maybe like a spray tan that like sticks on top of your skin because you want it there. V'gazru al rubo she'eno makbid, mishum rubo ha-makbid. And the Rabbanan made a gzera. They said, if the Torah says that if most of your body is covered in a way that bothers you in a way that you don't want it there permanently, right? Then we're going to say that if most of your body is covered, even in a way that you're fine having it there, that's usur also. Midirabanan, because we're concerned that if you get used to going to the mikvah with things that cover your entire bodies in ways that you aren't makbid, maybe you're going to get confused and you would go to the mikvah with something that covers most of your body, even by something that you are makbid. We don't want you to get confused, so we say that if it's covering most of your body, you cannot go to the mikvah even if you don't care that it's there. V'almiut ha-makbid mishum rubo ha-makbid. And furthermore, they were goes there against the minority of your body being covered in a way that it bothers you that it's there, lest you get confused and go to the mikvah with the majority of your body being covered in a way that that you are makbid on. So just to be clear, right? So what's asur deoraita is if most of your body is covered when you go to the mikvah by something that you don't want there permanently, right? That is the rubo hamakbid. That is the deoraita. Now, the Rabbanan had two concerns. If we let you go with a called rubo hamakbid, most of your body covered in a way that you don't want, then we don't want you to go with a miut hamakbid, with the minority of your body covered in a way that you don't want, because you might get confused and go with a rubo hamakbid. Furthermore, they had an additional concern. If you go with a rubo hamakbid, right, or if you go with a rubo hamakbid, that's also deoraita, but if we let you go with a rubo she'eno makbid, most of your body is covered in a way that you're not bothered, you also may get confused. So, rubo hamakbid is also deoraita, miut hamakbid dirabanan, rubo she'eno makbid dirabanan, but miut she'eno makbid is mutter. The leagues are nami al miut she'eno makbid mishum miut al makbid. But wait 1 second. If miut hamakbid, if the minority of your body is covered in a way that bothers you and you can't go to the mikvah, then maybe we should make a gzera on if the minority of your body is covered in a way that you're not makbid, because you might get confused. And if you go to the mikvah with a miut that you're not makbid on, then you might get confused and eventually go to the mikvah with a miut that you are makbid on. Inami mishum rubo she'eno makbid. Alternatively, we should make a gzera, you don't go. Alternatively, you shouldn't be allowed to go with a miut she'eno makbid as a gzera for rubo she'eno makbid. If you start going with a minority that you don't mind having on, maybe they'll get confused and think that you're allowed to go with a majority that you don't mind having on. He goof a gzera v'anu nekum v'nikuz or gzera l'gzera. Wait a second. It itself, the rubo she'eno makbid and the miut hamakbid, those things are gzeras. They are gzeras. They're already gzeras, they're abundant. We're going to come and make a gzera on top of a gzera? No, we don't do that, right? Something that's asur deoraita is asur deoraita. A gzera made to prevent from the violation of the asur deoraita is asur derabanan. We do not come make a gzera around a gzera. Mechitza deoraita ninu. What about these partitions? What about the walls? The halachically significant partition that separates domains? That also seems to be implied from the Torah. Da'amar mar, aron tisha v'chapora tefach, harekan asara. Right, the Aron, right, the Aron HaKodesh, the Ark, right, that is nine tfachim high, right, and the cover of the Aron gives an additional tefach, that is 10 tfachim, right, so, now, we know, we have a tradition based on the Pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not reside his presence in the domain of this world, but he will reside his presence on top of the Aron. Why would that be? Because the Aron is its own domain. So, if the Aron is its own domain, then, and the Aron is 10 tefachim high, then we know that an independent domain is constituted by 10 tfachim. That's from the pasuk. We know that from the pasuk. We don't need a lachlamosh mesiana from that. Lo tzricha l'Rabbi Yehuda d'amar amat binyan be'amah bat shisha amat kelim be'amah bat chamisha. No, we need this for Rabbi Yehuda shita, because Rabbi Yehuda says when the mishkan itself was being discussed and the amas were being laid out, we were talking about amas of 6 tfachim. However, the amas of the kelim, of the vessels inside the mishkan, those were amas of 5 tfachim, right? So, how did we arrive at the conclusion that the aron and the kaporet were 10 tfachim? Easy. Because the aron itself is an amah and a half. That's a pasuk. So if an amah is 6 tfachim, and half an amah is 3 tfachim, that's 9. The kaporet, an additional tefach, that's 10. However, if you believe that the kelim, the vessels inside the mishkan, were not made with amas of 6 tvachim, rather amas of 5 tvachim, then an ama is 5 tvachim, an additional half an ama is 2.5 tvachim, that's 7.5 tvachim, plus the tefach of the kaporet, and now you have 8.5 tvachim. If you have the aron is 8.5 tvachim, but a mechitza is 10 tvachim, then you do not learn anything from the aron. Furthermore, according to Rabbi Meir, who says that all amas used were 6, according to Rabbi Meir, who believes that all the amas that we discussed, both in the Mishkan and in the Kelim, were 6 tefach amas, then clearly we have a pasuk for the Aron. Clearly we have a pasuk for a mechitza that is 10 tvachim, because the aron is a mechitza, creates its own domain, and it's 10 tvachim. So what would Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir, ki atai hilchata lagud ulavid ulodofen akuma. Rabbi Meir would say as follows, that the halacha Moshe Mesinai came to teach us different principles of partitions that you wouldn't have otherwise known, right? Such as lagud, right? What is lagud, right? So this is relevant for Sukkot, we need to know. That we extend existing partitions, meaning if it is a partition in and of itself, it is an existing wall, right? It has everything that needs to be to constitute a wall, but it starts in the middle, right? It's like hanging, let's say. It starts in the middle of the air. Or alternatively, it stops and does not actually reach the roof. We say that the existing wall extends upward to the roof and downward to the ground. It has to be a wall in its own right, but even if it's in the middle, even if it's floating, right? So if it's going, we see it as if it went down to the ground and up to the roof. Lavud is the idea that any space less than 3 tvachim in between the wall is considered as if it's not there. We discussed that in Shabbat a little bit by Otso. Right? But if you say have, you know, 2 half walls separated by 1 tefach, we see that as 1 solid wall. That's labud. And dofen akuma is the bent wall. We discussed that 2 days ago, which is to say if you have a little bit of pasul schach, up on your roof, but it's less than dalad amot, we just consider that as an extension of the wall, and you can't sit under that part, but it doesn't pasul your whole sukkah, we just see as if the wall is going up and bending over. Those are 3 laws of walls that we wouldn't have known had it not been for the Chumash Mesina. Rabbi Meir says that that's what it comes in to teach us. Hayag gavoa me'esrim ama, ubalamato, kamim ma'it. We went back to the Mishnah when it comes to the mavoi about lowering the mavoi beyond the 20 amma space. So we're going to stop here.